PFT Media.
Waking up from that food Halloween coma.
Oh my god, was it that long ago?
Since October 30th.
It was a bit.
Bex. It is Devil's in the Details. My name is Pedro Lima Damparella. Beautiful Miss St. Clair.
I didn't know. Here we are, we're the princes of the universe. Here we belong, fighting for survival. We've got.
No, you can't.
Now, here's the thing. You got to give me a name, and that's how we're going to stick with it. Because I have one name in my head, and then everybody else calls you a different name. So we got to stick with one name.
We can just be like Bakara.
Bakara? Okay.
Bakara.
We'll combine both names. Oh, we're back. Let's see if I remember how to do this, man. It's been so long that we've all been here.
It's been a while. You know, ironically, I started World War One thinking we'd be over shortly, but it ended up dragging on longer than I had realized.
Much like.
Thought it'd be over by Christmas Day.
And I need to know how this ends. I need to know who wins, because I have
nobody.
No idea.
Well, we're speaking English instead of German right now, so it might give you an English lady.
Wasn't it the Russian?
There's this again.
The Russian. Oh,
there's this again.
And joining us today.
Is my daddy.
There we go.
My daddy, Dr. Derek McMonagall, all the way from the UK.
Wait, hold up. You're a doctor for real?
I'm an organic chemist by trade.
Wow. Wow. Dude,
So you're a doctor dad?
Dr. Dad.
Dr.
Daddy's in.
Yeah,
in
that
studio
sounds
today.
A bit weird.
Dr. I like
Dad.
That.
Dr.
Though.
Dad sounds better.
Dr. Dad or Dr. Daddy?
Dr. Dad.
Dr. Dad.
Dr. Dad. Dr. Dad. Dr. Daddy's a little. I don't know about that. That sounds like a place you buy liquor from.
Hey, Dr. Daddy.
Dr. Dad.
Okay, so Dr. Dad, what's your.
Organic
chemist.
Yeah. Well, by training, but I write textbooks in science and maths for a living most of the time these days.
Really?
That's so cool. That's what I wanted to do originally.
You just want to write books?
I wanted to write history textbooks, yeah.
Oh.
Pop-ups?
Cool. Mm. Maybe one day.
How much money is it? Where's the money at, sir? Is the money at the real serious stuff?
I also do consultancy work overseas on science curricula. That brings in a lot more money than writing
that's
books.
That's
you don't write bestsellers when you're writing textbooks.
No.
Consultation work.
So that's mixing. Mm-hmm. How you been, buddy? You've been traveling all over the place?
Yeah, it's been. And in about 2 weeks, I'm going to head over to Minneapolis.
Look at that.
To start scouting out the new territories. Going to go to Wrestlepalooza.
I'm going there,
You're going to Palooza?
No, we're going to Minneapolis for New Year's.
Oh, okay.
Oh, maybe I should stay there for...
You should just stay for January 5th and 6th, and that's where we're going to...
Gonna get me booked.
Gonna
get
go.
Me some bookings.
Yeah, get yourself booked on Eric Cannon's show. And,
yeah, he's coming out for New Year's, actually.
Gonna go meet David Arquette.
Oh!
He's wrestling there.
He survived an attempted
murder. He wrestles
murder.
Everywhere.
Except for us!
That dude survived in a... Like, he almost got clipped.
Well, you know, that's CZW death matches. That'll do it. So he's told himself no more death matches, which I think is a very smart move.
My dad doesn't know too much about wrestling, so can we not terrify him that
his
youngest daughter does this for a living,
I
calling like
about
death matches?
To go into that, Dr. Dad. How do you feel about your? This is your littlest girl.
Yeah.
She's the youngest.
She's a big girl now. She does what she chooses.
Really? Was this a big thing at the chemic? At the lab that you were kind of like...
I've been self-employed. I've been self-employed for a long time, so I don't have to put up with people.
But the
there you
lab
go.
Coats start throwing...
And you're self-employed.
Beats all over the place.
I do what I want to.
So there you go.
And I don't put up with anyone at work.
No.
So how many are you guys?
I got four. I got two daughters, two sons.
And she's the youngest.
Yep.
And she's the one that just went off the reservation kind of deal. Everybody else is...
Pretty much.
She's the one that got married first.
Yes, oh. You've all met my husband.
Yes, he's been on a couple of shows now.
Yeah, no, my sister...
You get along with that dude? He's kind of weird. I don't like the mustache, I'll be honest with you.
How do you not? He's such a cool guy.
It just brings flashbacks of that Jack the Ripper kind of thing.
Oh, man, he got into that podcast.
Oh, my God, he loved it.
Yeah, no, I missed it, but I heard it.
He see it in his really eye.
Big Jack the Ripper fan.
Little guy. You can... Size them up.
Pack a punch.
First time you met him.
Trust me.
Because I'm going to do that with my daughter. I don't care who my daughter ends up. She's 15 right now. But once she brings that first boyfriend there, I'm sizing that dude up. I don't care what size that guy is.
You don't really have to worry about that, though.
Yeah, but still.
Like, there's a 75% chance he's going to be smaller than you.
Yeah.
Hey, my husband's smaller than me. Like, I can size him up.
So yeah, I've been around, been traveling a lot, but hopefully we can knock out some more podcasts until the summer season kicks in.
All right,
let's go. Summer. We ended, I believe,
the war started. We talked about the causes of the war,
yeah,
and we're now kind of into the thick of it. And we talked a little bit about trench warfare and what that was all about.
Okay,
but we didn't really get into too many. Of the clusters, as I like to call it, these real serious incidences where people should have realized, that it was just, this was not going to go according to plan.
This is when they killed the dude in that.
Yeah, Franz is dead. Yeah, Ferdinand's dead already. The war has started. Our sides have been drawn. So for those of you keeping score at home, we have the Central Powers, Germany, Austro-Hungary, and the Ottoman Empire.
Mm-hmm. United States still not involved.
And Bulgaria, if you care.
They came in with the 7th Cavalry at the last minute.
Always. And then on the Allied side, we have Great Britain and France. And, technically... technically, Russia at this time. Yeah, Russia still.
Italy?
And yes, no, by now the Italians have jumped in. By 1915, they've jumped in to the Allied side. They were a German ally. But then they used the clause that said, no, we were going to help you if you were attacked. You started the war, so we don't go in.
Okay.
And then they decided that they would jump on the Allies side because this was a chance for them to sucker punch Austria and get some northern Italian territory that they've always wanted.
Wow, so they played the heel tactic.
Let me tell you about the glorious Italian army. No, the glorious Italian army.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you were
It only takes half Italian to really get the prize.
150,000 strong Italian men showing up at that Austro-Hungarian border, and they got pushed back and lost 70 miles of territory.
Oh.
But then they attacked again and lost again.
More miles?
By 1917, the Italians had lost pretty much their entire northern division and lost most of the Italian territory to the Austrians.
Did they go to Ethiopia and lose spectacularly?
We didn't talk about Ethiopia.
No?
Ethiopia didn't happen.
No, of course it didn't, darling. Of course it didn't.
Actually, we covered that quite thoroughly.
That's where the racism started those Ethiopians.
So the Italians are technically in the war in as much as they're keeping the Austrians busy.
The participants, pretty much they sound like they've been like a punching bag kind of thing. Like,
they're actually good for the morale of Austria. I'm sorry, guys.
Of course.
Because Austria is getting themselves shellacked by the Russians, so the Germans have to come in and do double duty and hold off the Russians while they're holding off the French and the British on the Western Front.
Okay.
So it's a lot of
moving pieces in this whole World War One.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Russia's really your biggest problem. Like, as like Germany
to this day,
Russia is the biggest problem because Russia's just so blooming big. Like, that's got to be your first protocol. Like, Britain, it's a little island off the coast. France is right next door. You can probably but Russia, there's big old landmass.
At that stage, you're talking pre-Russian Revolution.
Yeah,
I mean, they were still having problems of supplying basic foodstuffs in Russia at that time, which is why they dropped out in 1916 because the revolution came.
Yeah, well, Nicholas didn't help.
But the Germans had Schlieffen?
The Schlieffen plan.
The idea was to take on the Brits and the French on the Western Front, take on the Russians on the Eastern Front, and bit like Napoleon. And a bit like Hitler, who came after.
You know, there's that rule out there. You don't attack Russia on land unless you're the Mongols.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. Nobody else has been that successful.
Wasn't it? You don't attack Russia in the winter.
In the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. In the winter.
Yeah. Unless you're the Mongols.
Yay, you know? Mongols! Oh my god, can we do like an episode on the Mongols? Because they're just awesome.
We're going to have to.
They rock to their world.
They are the exception to almost every rule in history.
Yeah, right.
They're the original Khal Drogos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my god. I love that. Like, I did a whole... I'm not going to go, but, like, I did, like, a whole researching on this, like, 2 weeks ago because something came up. You know, you go into the rabbit hole, but anyway. I'm going into the rabbit hole.
We'll talk about Genghis Khan.
Okay, so now we're at...
So, one of the things I'd love to talk about, because we're getting close to the season here, is what was called the Christmas Peace. It was this unofficial thing, and this is where you can play the Silent Night there. 1915, I believe. Yes.
And by this time, Coca-Cola hasn't.
They're not red yet. No.
They're not here.
They haven't introduced Santa Claus.
Yet. Santa Claus is still in his green suit.
No. Yeah. So this is an interesting thing. It's Christmas Eve.
The hell was
that? Gunshots.
And you know the soldiers on both sides are. Christmas carols to each other.
Shut up.
You know, to each other in the trenches, and then they hear the Germans responding in their language, and they miraculously, it's without any orders or anything like that, get out of the trenches, French and British and Germans, and just meet each other and celebrate Christmas together on the battlefield. They have soccer games. They exchange cigarettes and chocolate and whatever they can as gifts with each other. Yeah.
Yo,
it's
almost like soldiers are humans.
Right, it's this
no, like
common
that hurts,
man peace.
That hurts my heart.
Next day, they all went back to killing
back
each
at
other.
It.
Yeah,
but there's a movie called I think Joy Noel that covers
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah.
And there's pictures of them playing soccer together and everything up on the field and out in the. They pretty much told each other where the landmines weren't, and they went to go play their games and just. Have a good, they shared rations, everything, had a little Christmas meal.
They finished, and then tomorrow, all right, come on, war on!
Well, the word finally gets to the generals of what's happening. And so all the guys who organized it were court-martialed and sent to prison, and there were restrictions and rules. There were going to be no more Christmas celebrations as long as the war was on, because they didn't like that idea of...
Peace?
Yeah, peace and humans being human to each other.
Were these generals court-martialed afterwards?
No, they become like legends and have statues made of them.
They got raises. What are you talking about? Bonuses.
Field Marshal Haig gets this huge parade when he dies.
He is a bad man.
Haig?
Haig. Butcher Haig.
As in
the Haig?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
No.
I'm just putting words together.
No, he was the commander of the British forces.
Ah.
And then on the French side was Ferdinand
Foch. Did he have a little funny mustache like Jack?
Actually, yes.
Yeah. It was a bit bigger. It wasn't like quite Jack's, you know, defined man. Okay.
It didn't curl is what she's trying to say. We could pull up a picture, obviously.
Was it like the guy that goes like hunting an expedition kind of mustache? The one that connects all...
No, it's not. You're not thinking like Jumanji Hunter?
They go lamb chops.
Yeah, you don't... Dr. Dad, do you ever rock a mustache?
Never did.
Never? Did you? Is it because it wasn't organically possible?
I never had any attraction for beards and mustaches.
No, really? Mm.
He's from Liverpool, generation of the Beatles, man. He's all about like
the Beatles group, beards.
And the counterculture 70s afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They got rich and left.
Oh, that's right. When they got rich,
that's the officer stash. Yes.
That's a nice mustache.
Right. Yeah. So there's no. It doesn't occur. Very
proper.
Very. What's all this then?
Proper mustache.
I want you for the British Army.
It's a Ned Flanders pushbroom.
Right.
Burt Reynolds.
Right. So, you know, commanders like that, so that was one of those sad moments there. Aww. That it was
quite beautiful. There's a really nice little, I remember a child's book that we used to read like around this time when we were reading it, but yeah, we get told that story when we were in school. Mm-hmm. When we were quite young. It's a really nice little story.
There's a cartoon, I think, that Warner Brothers did. Disney or Warner Brothers did a cartoon about this instance as well.
If it was Disney, then they all would have been like chipmunks.
The mother would have been dead. Right. The mother would have been dead.
And the mother. Right. All their mothers would have died, and they all would have been animals, talking animals. Everything else would have been the same.
And it's deadlocked in the Western Front. After that, it's just they go back and forth, not really gaining more than a few yards from each other, back and forth in this trench warfare, up until the Battle of the Somme in 1916.
Oh, God.
What happened there? What's the deal there?
Well,
why was that?
Field Marshal Haig and Ferdinand Foch got together and realized that their strategy was not working, so that they had a new idea. Instead of going over the top, they were going to go over the top, but this time with more men, so it'll work.
Over the top.
Over the top. That's when they get out of the trenches.
And run.
Run.
Oh.
And just go.
That's
pretty
really brutal.
I'm thinking this dude got a hook up with like hot air balloons.
Well, no, that's the Germans. The Germans have the Zeppelin balloons at this point. They're bombing London.
Yeah, what's
London.
The point? Can't you see those things coming a mile away?
Yeah, but how are you going to shoot?
Yeah, so far out, what are you going to do?
They had spotter balloons on ropes.
Okay.
And when they saw the aircraft didn't move that quick in those days, so you could see one coming a mile or two, and they pull on the rope and bring the balloon down, and when the aircraft's gone, it'd go back up again. They use this for observation.
Yeah, all right.
Here's a plane come. That thing's like, yeah, let's bring it down, friends.
You just hope the guy hasn't gone away to get a cup of coffee or
something. Get some glue vine.
I mean, England did get very good at blowing these up. We did manage to, I think, something out of like 120, we blew up like 70 of them.
They were too big. They were an easy target.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, we got good at it. I mean, they did like bomb London a few times, but we got pretty good at getting rid of them. But yeah, they had the balloons.
Wait, they were able to.
But we had the tanks.
Wait, they bombed London with a guy carrying this balloon over?
Yeah.
Like, they really just
lifted it out of the basket. And
yeah, like Acme bombs. Yeah.
Did you guys bombs, just say, oh, that's the fuse nice, on the top. That's a nice balloon. Just been hovering there.
For right, yeah. Days. This was not the Battle of Britain here. This was. Uh-oh, here comes another balloon.
Somebody should bring this balloon down.
No! Right.
So, Battle of the Somme ends in, technically, it's a British and French victory.
Okay.
Technically.
I can tell, I can already tell by Beck's reaction there. The British take a lot of credit for that victory.
No, we're not taking any credit for this victory.
No?
None.
Okay.
1.5 million people die in this battle.
Oh, wow.
How many miles of territory taken. 4 miles. Now.
For 1.5.
I've done the math.
Uh-huh.
Just in case you were wondering, for every step, 64,000 people die.
Damn. Damn, dude, you broke it down to the steps.
I like to, back when I was teaching history with the kids, I like to, reinforce the whole.
Take one step,
64,000 people die.
Wow, did any of those kids leave your classroom crying?
Yeah, it was.
This battle ran from July till, I think it was November.
Yeah,
you're not talking about
not in one day,
quick
right?
Set piece here.
No. Yeah,
the Battle of Verdun was longer, but this was like 6 months worth.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, four miles is all they got out of all of it.
Yeah, but did it help? Did those 4 miles help?
Yeah,
morale wise, kinda. It definitely
helped. It helped with morale.
It slowed the German advance enough because they were still dealing with Russia.
Okay,
and it chipped at it, mm-hmm. But it was still, you're looking at morale. I'm talking about the people who weren't in the trenches.
Yeah, you still have, so at this time, you still have relative government control over media. So really at home, people are only hearing what the government want them to hear. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, because the letters are all being censored and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's like we got 4 miles and some people died, but not many.
It's not important because we got the 4 miles.
We got the 4 miles.
Yeah, sure.
This is what, 1916?
Sorry, 1916.
What was that? 1 kilometer, one point something? It's not even that many kilometers.
No.
You got to put it in like miles, like, to make it sound better.
What is it, Dad? A mile to a kilometer?
5/8 of a mile to a kilometer.
There you go. 5/8.
That's not good.
So four or five days.
It's
that's
not even a 5K. It's not even a pop. No, it's
not, right. Not even. That, nope.
Yeah, 5-6 kilometers, something like that.
So, yeah. Well, it's okay, because the British have other strategies going on right now.
Okay.
They've got a very promising secretary by the name of Winston Churchill.
Oh, that dude. Yeah,
who
Gary
is
Oldman.
Going to stop the Ottomans, by God.
Don't diss Churchill. Let's just leave this bit. We don't need to diss Churchill.
I have to for Australia. No. For Australia's sake, I have to mention this.
No. That's the guy that said don't work with children or animals, right?
Right.
That's
the guy. Winston Churchill?
Well, actually, my sister actually told me about Churchill's son, didn't she? That in the second one, when we're jumping out, but the Second World War, like his son ended up getting like his spine broken and stuff. Like it was pretty bad. We'll get onto that bit, actually.
So Churchill is, was he...
Needed to break the Ottoman Empire at this
okay.
point. All right, so he's...
At this time, he's what?
He's the Secretary of State for War.
Okay. Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. And... So,
he's also the Secretary of Jowls. Not a jowling. Nixon took some pages.
Oh,
was
he the First Lord of the Admiralty? He might have been the First Lord of the Admiralty at that point, I think.
Yes, it's I know it was a naval position, so it
yeah,
might have been.
That was what it was.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, there we go. And
he was in the Navy before this?
No, he was just...
You don't have to be in the Navy to be the First Lord of the Navy. Oh, not in England.
Right. No, it's,
England.
It's
really.
They just give you the title. And like, I just want the name.
Have, you not seen our cabinet in the Trump administration lately?
They just let anybody go. Yeah, I'm thinking there was some type of
right.
Of,
no.
Order generally, back then. The people in charge in the army are still kind of the lords and gentlemen of the court and things. You know, they're not really people who have experience in the traditional sense.
Well, Churchill had an experience in that. He was a war correspondent during the Boer War.
Mm-hmm.
He got captured at one point in the Boer War and escaped.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's quite an adventurous guy in his youth, I think.
He's got some lineage, you know, great grandfather, Duke of Marlborough and everything. So he's got
the
you
cigarette
know.
Company.
Yes, that, it was him. He invented the cigarettes
and cowboys,
and that's how he killed the Indians. So they are going to get some recruits to help them out because
okay.
most of the you know, the mainland Englishmen are out in France. Mm-hmm. So we're going to call them the colonies for this one.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Good old Australians and New Zealanders.
They're ready to go.
The Anzacs.
Let's get on the kangaroo. Let's
right.
go.
Right. Ready right.
Let's fight this war.
Right. They've got their knives.
I got my ooby-jooby-joo. Right. What's that thing?
The didgeridoos.
The didgeridoos.
Yeah, the dingo. Yes, an army of dingoes.
Oh, we got all dingoes and all didgeridoos.
The dingo
right.
took my baby.
And a little movie trivia here for you, Crespo. Oh. Have you seen the Mel Gibson film Gallipoli?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't.
Well, you know, if you ever want a theatrical representation of what's about to happen.
This? Okay, here we go.
Gallipoli.
Sorry, Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back when people liked them.
Vast. It was young. It was in the 80s.
Oh, we just rewatched Lethal Weapon. It's so good.
It's a great Christmas movie.
Christmas movie.
Yes,
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Crispo.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't get the same love that Die Hard gets as a Christmas movie.
Well, Jack doesn't let me watch Christmas movies unless it's December. Like, he refuses. So as soon as like, it's December 1st, it's like, Die Hard. Die Hard 2.
Nice.
Lethal Weapon.
Gremlins. Yes.
Gremlins.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of Gremlins.
Get out.
Ernest Saves Christmas.
Ernest Saves Christmas, shot here in Orlando.
Yes. It's a tradition. I'm up at Christmas Carol.
Yes.
All these things.
Yes, yes. All these things.
So the landing of Gallipoli.
Jingle all the way.
So here's where that... I want to say it's a combination of overconfidence and a little bit of white superiority, not thinking that the Muslims were prepared for a landing on the coast.
What do Muslims know about war?
You know, just, maybe the... You know, they're not... They don't understand modern warfare quite like us. And he wasn't wrong. The mm-hmm. Ottoman Empire was technologically inferior to the British in many ways, except for the fact that they understood that guns needed to be pointed towards the sea where the boats were going to land. Mm-hmm. They figured that part out.
But didn't it take much longer than initially thought? Didn't Churchill suggest this a few months before it actually happened?
Yes, there was a delay. And that, so it's not all on Churchill, absolutely.
Oh, so Churchill's like, yo, we got to
do this now.
Everybody dragged
their
feet.
It was his boys upstairs that messed
right.
us up.
And by that time,
somebody
the guns were ready.
Somebody told the Muslims. The Muslims are like, we got this.
We got this. And so
get to the coast, how much?
The Australians get obliterated.
Oh, boy.
There's a really sad song called "And the Band Played Waltzing Matilda." It'll tear your heart out one time if you ever listen to
it. Oh, that's what that song is about?
No, Waltzing Matilda is the...
Yeah,
the...
to need tent and pegs, you need both legs or something like that.
Because you get your legs blown out from under
you. Yeah, this guy did. He used to go camping every year and then... he didn't go camping anymore.
Wow. It's a whole story about how he used to be this roamer and everything. He went to go, you know, serve his country and came back without his legs and everything. And most of the people came back disfigured. Mm-hmm. Or if
what's
they
the
came
name
back
of the song?
Mm. And the band played "Waltzing Matilda."
And the band, okay.
And the band.
I'm thinking "Waltzing Matilda."
No. Yeah, okay. They played "Waltzing Matilda." Be like, yeah, Australia, go Australia. And then it was just, it scarred the Australians. For like culturally, this is why Australia is not really a very not into war, doesn't really glorify its wars or anything like that. Mm. This battle really scarred the country.
Really,
like they were done after
250,000 killed.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, wow.
Talking serious numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
But talking about like sort of going back to people not having legs, the First World War was actually when a lot of the grandfather techniques for plastic surgery were invented. Mm-hmm. Because everyone got all of their
got all mangled.
Face blown off.
Wow. People needed nose jobs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
It's like, well, we can put this bit on your cheek back on your nose.
There's you guys ever seen Boardwalk Empire?
Yes.
No.
The guy that had the mask because he was shot in the war. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Tommy's
best mate.
That's
the guy. He's a serial killer. You mean?
Yeah.
Was he a serial killer?
Yeah, he was the one that he killed everyone. He's like the sharpshooter.
But I mean, he needed purpose in life, so they gave him purpose.
Yeah.
He was just so talking. I like that guy.
No, it's a good series.
He's a good guy.
Mm. I still need to see it. I haven't seen it one yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so Australians get wiped.
Wiped. Churchill steps down. You know, port of pride, everything like that. And they've decided that they're going to use another method to get to the Ottomans.
Oh.
The Arabs.
What do they bribe them with?
Remember, we had this discussion about the Middle East. This is where Lawrence of Arabia shows up, right? And Gertrude Stein and all of these, they send in a couple of British specialists to start coordinating with the Arab revolt that's going to happen. And, the only problem is a few British statesmen get their wires crossed about whose land they're going to promise at the end of this war. And that's going to start building the nest for the problems that are going to happen today. So they say, hey, help us defeat the Ottomans.
We'll give you this.
We'll give you Jerusalem.
And somebody else is like, no, we were going to give them something else.
Like, we'll give you Jerusalem.
Right.
We'll give you Jerusalem.
You've got one... British member of government named McMahon, who is offering
Vince McMahon
who's offering Jerusalem. But then you've got another guy named Balfour who's offering the Jewish people the same thing a year later.
That's gracious.
So
that was all we covered that in episode 20.
Right.
What is the Middle East?
Mm-hmm. It was called the Balfour Declaration.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a problem ever since.
Put it mildly.
What a jerk.
Right. So this is where... So that starts there. We won't get into that, obviously, because we covered the whole thing in that episode.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now we're there.
So they were there. And...
how are the Germans doing? They're good?
They're struggling.
They're struggling.
They're really fighting this war all by themselves. The Austrians, they're kind of dragging along. The Ottomans are collapsing in on themselves because of this revolt. The Bulgarians are no real help.
Where are the Russians at?
The Russians are
they're dealing with their own stuff right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they had an armistice with Germany, I think, the end of 17, which then allowed the Germans to shift their troops back onto the Western Front.
They finally caught a break when the Russians dropped out,
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were looking for there. Meanwhile, in America...
Yes, tell me about it. Cowboys are dying.
America!
Yeah, Woodrow Wilson would be like,
it's a campaign promise. I will keep you out of war. That's what got him reelected in 1916. He kept us out of war. He'll keep us out of war.
Teddy Roosevelt was rerunning as his made-up progressive party as, I will get you into the war.
Yes.
And people were like, Teddy, go home.
There was a lot of anti-German feelings in the United States due to the fact that most Americans at this time still had an Anglo-Saxon background. So they were more... loyal, and they felt more sympathy to the French and the British.
Wasn't there, was it the Lusitania?
Yes.
Got torpedoed in 1915, I think, May 15. And there was several hundred American citizens on that. Because it was coming from New York to England.
Because it was a passenger ship. Yeah. But it was suspected.
But there were supplies on it.
There were supplies as well, right?
The Germans declared the waters around the UK a war zone. Mm-hmm. And basically, they thought that was carte blanche. They had to blast anything out the water with their U-boats.
And the Americans assumed that it didn't apply to them.
That they wouldn't blow up their boats.
Yeah. All right.
But well, they were being sneaky. Like, you can't really blame the Germans, because there was an agreement, like, we won't blow up passenger ships, and then America were just using the passenger ships to put supplies from country to country.
For some reason, I don't know why, maybe I was drunk, but I heard maybe that was one of the tactics that Hitler had. One time he would have like kids on like the transport trucks that would bring like water and supplies.
Oh, it's a common tactic by a lot of governments that they'll put innocent people on where they're transporting.
So that way, if you blow it up, it's like, oh, look what you did.
Yep. That was a common thing for them to do.
There was a rumor, and I don't think it was any more than that
nobody's going to check.
Churchill,
it's true.
Actually, he was instrumental in getting the Lusitania torpedoed on the basis that would bring America into the war.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'd say, I don't think there's any truth at all in it, but things...
Dr. Daddy bringing the heat!
Maybe.
You've heard it here first, people. Slandering Churchill. He set us up.
But I learned that's where Salisbury steak comes from in America.
Yes.
So Salisbury steak was the name that was given to a hamburger, because hamburgers were named after Hamburg in Germany.
So it's like a freedom fries, French fries type of deal. So cheesy.
They stopped calling it hamburgers and stuff.
It's funny that, you know,
freedom fries.
Salisbury
steak.
With that theory, this is how history kind of like repeats itself. Mm-hmm. It's a theory. Churchill probably gave a heads up. Yo, sink this thing.
I don't believe it for a minute, but...
A lot of people don't believe 9/11 either, because a lot of people think like Bush did those towers.
The first time America's been brought into a war because another side blew up one of its ships.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Cubans did that in the Spanish-American War. They blew up the Maine to get the America to go in there and get into Puerto Rico and to Cuba. It was the Cuban... revolutionaries who blew up the Maine, not the Spanish.
Someone else will do it in another 30 years.
It would be the first time the United States was like, oh, someone blew up our boat, get them.
Don't blow up our boats. Leave our boats alone.
It takes it to boat.
Was the Lusitania before or after we had the message given to America that
before.
Germany were asking Mexican... Before. Mexico to come into the war.
Yep.
Before. Germany was asking Mexico to jump in?
I'll get to that.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
We'll get there.
I'm getting to it. So the anti-German feeling is going on in America to the point where this is actually the rise of the temperance movement in America that starts prohibition, because they associated Germans, these vile Germans, with beer drinking, right? Mm. Obvious. And not British people, because there's no, you know, the UK is known for not...
Bunch of teetotalers.
Not drinking at all and being a very dry...
Totally tea.
Entire dry empire never drinks
any
alcohol.
Also, how convenient that we have an excuse to get these German people, you know, from making all of this money that we could maybe be making if we got rid of them.
So it starts to... The temperance movement starts to gain steam at this time.
No schnitzels, no sausages.
And they even start to...
Oh, they changed the name of Frankfurt too.
Yes, the hot dogs.
Really? Oh, that's where hot dogs came from?
Right. Supposed to be instead of
French fries. What were they called? They were like freedom hot dogs or something, or like...
Freedom dogs?
Freedom dogs? Coney dogs.
Just stick with freedom.
There you go.
Put freedom on and you're good to go.
They are.
Red hots.
It's so funny that you changed the name of food.
We'll teach them.
We'll show you.
It's so dumb.
I mean, food is important to America. Like, let's be honest.
It's a very, sacred.
You've seen the belt line.
It is our sacred cow. Literally.
Love that guy.
All right. So they.
And the little side thing on the temperance movement, because they were trying to pursue people to stop drinking beer and it was evil and stuff, and they started promoting, you know, there are better things to drink and we can provide it to you for free. That's where we started getting public water fountains in America.
Oh,
it was like, here's free drink. You don't have to go into a bar and, you know, and drink alcohol. Step here's right up. All this free water around
free
you.
Free drink. And
this so beer fountain tastes funny.
So, yeah, water fountains are one of the things that started showing up.
This beer ain't getting me drunk.
But we were busy at this time. We were in Mexico. We had to capture Pancho Villa.
Pancho Villa.
Yes, General Pershing is busy riding around Mexico trying to capture Pancho Villa.
Blooming Pancho
and this Villa. Is when Germany's kind of like...
It's when Antonio Banderas grabs a machine gun and just...
Banderas sits with his guitar case. No more chit-chat.
Or he plays Pancho Villa himself, depending on the movie that you watch. So, yeah, and the Germans are going to try and pull something because they really think the United States is about to enter. Now, whether or not the United States would have entered, you never know.
They sink the boat and they're like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. And so
there was a lot of pressure from the Allies as well for the U.S. to enter. Because we were like, come help us, come help us, come help us.
This was 1915 when the Lusitania was sunk, and it was, well, February 1817 when Woodrow
it was like Wilson the last year.
Had an armaments
right
munitions thing passed in the Senate Congress or whatever
right yeah he passed
it. There was
no sale of weapons by 1914 it was no sale of weapons and then it's finally lifted I think by 1916 right. And
cowboys still around? There's cowboys still around in this?
Oh, there's cowboys everywhere still. Okay. Yeah,
cowboys.
Yeah, yeah. There's still cowboys out west.
To this day. Yeah.
There's still cowboys out west.
There's still cattle in this country and men have to herd them.
You know, Colorado's still got a nice trail going.
Gauchos.
But, so the Germans, this German minister by the name of Zimmermann, goes to the Mexicans and says, listen, I got this idea. If you would keep going to war with the United States, attack the United States, distract them from the war. All we need is them not to come in. We're totally going to beat the British and the French. Russians have dropped out. It's only a matter of time. We really think it's going to happen.
And the Mexicans go, gay?
Yeah. Like, what? We tried that last time. They took Texas and California from us. And New Mexico and Arizona.
And they kept the names.
Right. Yeah, they took... No, they changed it from Tejas to Texas.
Right, so that's like... What else do you think they're going to take? They're like, no, we'll help you get it back afterwards. Mm. The German army will come to Mexico. We'll take Texas. We'll take California. And we'll make it Mexican again.
Still can happen now.
Make Mexico Mexican.
I don't know if you know this relationship with Trump and Merkel.
Right?
And the Mexican wall. Merkel could be like... You want it back now?
You want this? I got the telegram still. So the British intercept this telegram. And they just slide it into the White House. Like, hey, you might want to check this out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we held on to it for a little while, didn't we? Until, like, the opportune moment.
Right.
Like, arised of, like, eh.
Mm-hmm. By the way.
Looky where we got.
You want to be out of this? Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to read this.
The Germans were feeling confident because they really had not seen anything out of the United States militarily. They did not think they would be able to mobilize fast enough to actually make a difference in the war. But that changes in April of 1917. The United States declares war on the Central Powers and they decide to go in. If you want to play the Over There song. There we go.
This is when they made Puerto Rico a state. Not a state.
Citizenship.
They gave citizenship to Puerto Rico.
Provided they serve in the... Yep.
See? Pawns. That's what we are, sir.
Welcome to the war, America. Mm-hmm. You're a bit late.
It's an estimated...
What the hell is this?
This is the song of war. This is the American go-get-em song in World War One called Over
this
There.
This is what's supposed to motivate somebody
this
to motivates, go to
war? Yep.
This was the summer banger.
This was written by
1917.
This was written by George M. Cohan, the father of Broadway.
Was there an American equivalent of Kitchener's famous poster? Your country needs you.
Yes, we had the Uncle Sam. We did. I want you for U.S. Army. Yep. Mm-hmm. This is where Uncle Sam shows up. We just grabbed that poster, put an American hat on it, gave it a white goatee, and like, yeah, there not? We go. That's ours too.
That's our guy.
But there had to be something else that motivated everybody else to be like, let's go.
It was that...
That letter?
It was that letter. It was that the Germans don't think we're anything, boys.
There were insults in it. Did you guys write some insults in that? Is that the deal? Maybe I edited a couple stuff.
Yeah. On average, the Americans were sending in thousands of new recruits every single day. Like, really, as far as tipping the scales go. And it helped. It did help. The Germans just could not handle another invasion of fresh guys.
But bear in mind that this came at a time when the Russian front closed down and the Germans were able to move troops from the East Front to the Western Front. So it's very convenient in that sense. Yes. It just sort of evened up the numbers again.
So it wasn't easy, though. Like, that, you know, that we like to, especially over here, we like to say that we showed up and they surrendered the next day.
Yeah, sure.
It was still another year and a half of fighting.
Yeah. I thought we showed up and everybody just says, they're like, we got this. Stand back. Churchill, we got you, homie.
Well, this is like, you know, three and a bit years in. So, like, at this point, it probably became apparent to them that whoever ran out of soldiers first is going to lose. Mm. Like, there wasn't really much to be gained, like, land-wise because of the trenches. It was basically whoever didn't have anyone to throw at the other one, is going to win. And, you know, when Russia dropped out, you know, Germany very confident. We've got the most troops. We're going to win. And then America comes in. Well, oh, dearie me. We don't have the most troops anymore. This is probably going to go bad for us.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk about this American army.
Yeah. What we got?
All right. We have got a group of American volunteers.
Coal miners.
And General Blackjack Pershing himself.
I like it.
Is going to lead all the white soldiers to victory. All the black guys get put to the French army.
Really?
Yeah.
The black guys get sent to the French army?
At this point, white and black soldiers were still not allowed to fight next to each other in the United States.
Crazy.
Because, surprise, surprise, our president at the time was the guy who let the second Ku Klux Klan rise in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Yeah. He was the guy who had the screening of Birth of a Nation
in the
White House.
So,
and he called it lightning. No, history written in lightning is what he called the movie in which the KKK was portrayed as the heroes.
The heroes. So this is the America that's coming to war right now.
That guy sucks.
Black guys and white guys separated. And the blacks get into the French army. And they have never been treated so well.
I've heard that.
They get treated like kings. Most of them stay in France after the war. They're like,
it's not even being treated like kings. It's really being treated like human beings. And they're like, oh my goodness, this is possible in this world?
Yeah. It was a group that was highly decorated called the Harlem Hellfighters.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
That's a sexy name.
Harlem Hellfighters. And it was a whole battalion of boys from Harlem that just whooped German butt all around the battlefield.
Boop, boop.
That would be a comic book.
Like, why wouldn't you have a Harlem Hellfire? Like, right? That's like Captain America's best name.
Did you guys have any cool
names
for your little groups or anything like that?
The Flying Seabees.
I'm sure we must have done, but I can't bring any to mind.
Names for troops, like we got Harlem Hellfighters.
The Tuskegee Airmen.
I don't know. We're not quite as inventive.
The Liverpoolian.
It would probably just be like the Scouse lads or something, or like they would be named after the street.
Liverpool Irish and Scots Irish.
Oh, okay.
We weren't that inventive.
Just the city
just,
and the
just
and
very
ethnic.
Straight up.
Yeah, I mean, nationality. They tended to have the names of where the troops came from because it gave them some.
So the Manchester Men.
The Scots of Everton.
I heard that they also had like Native Americans involved in the army as they tried to figure out a communication.
Windtalkers, yes.
That was World War II.
They had the Navajo language
to confuse the Japanese.
I thought that was so smart. I thought that was World War I.
Yeah, that's in World War II.
That's a Nicolas Cage movie.
That's Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage didn't
that
need that army.
Navajo.
So, yeah, they
should have had everyone speaking in Welsh. Like, nobody would have understood.
Nobody would have understood.
No one understood.
Everything would have stopped. What did he say? I don't know.
I don't know. Something in Welsh. Probably like, I want a sheep.
Remind them to leave a Rosetta Stone. There needs to be a Welsh Rosetta Stone left behind. So, there we go. So, Blackjack Pershing takes his white boys. And he's like, you know what? The reason you allies haven't been getting the job done is because you're hiding in your holes, hiding in your trenches. Pfft, it's for girls.
Excuse me?
Americans. Americans don't need trenches. We're just going to run at the enemy. Go get them, boys.
let's go over the top because that works.
So I did. Yeah, you guys haven't thought of someone yet? I have an idea.
So it was the idea that trench warfare took too long. Let's just rush them, boys.
Rush them.
And even though the United States was only in the war for a year and a half, we still had just as high as a casualty percentage because of good old blackjacks. Wow. Let's get them, boys.
1.5 million dead. But this time we did it in 3 months.
Yes. Yeah. Bigger, faster, stronger.
Keep moving. Wildcat formation. Let's go, boys.
Jeez.
Throw the Hail Mary pass.
That's just run over the corpses of your fallen.
Just show them you're Americans. Yeah. And apparently, American gung-ho is not bulletproof. And
shocker. Shocker.
We were in for a fight.
Yeah. So, like, World War One also brought, like, some really quite cool, weaponry advancements. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Germans had flamethrowers.
Yeah.
Which were really...
Oh, we didn't have
like,
that?
Really bad, but, like, really cool.
It's like that's the beginning of flamethrowers? German?
I think... I don't know if it's the beginning, but I think it's the first time I know that they were
like really manufactured.
The monarch you carry around your tank.
Yeah.
I think, in general, the reason there were so many casualties was because of the advances in technology. Because
it was the first, like, mechanized war?
Machine guns. I mean, guns that could fire, mm-hmm. Multiple mm-hmm. rounds per
mm-hmm.
minute.
Mm-hmm.
Airplanes and dropping stuff off. They had radio communications. Mm-hmm. Which
the Red Baron.
Made things a lot easier.
Oh, we want to talk about him?
How about tanks?
I was talking about Von Richthofen.
The first time they were using tanks.
Yeah, they weren't, like, very, they weren't, like, not good, but they weren't very good. They used to, like, break down and stuff, mm-hmm, sure. And they were heavy, and you couldn't get them everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was the first time tanks.
Yeah.
By the British. Thank you very much.
Do we have
we're going to regret bringing them in, in about 4 years, but...
The Germans got pretty
good. The Germans are going to be like, what if we can make these faster?
What if we can make these good?
Yeah.
It's a good idea, but imagine if we made them. Just like we make our cars.
Yeah.
We got a couple of legends there. Manfred von Richthofen, the Red Baron. Was a legit dude. A flying ace like no other. We're looking at about 80 confirmed kills by this guy.
Couldn't take Snoopy down,
right?
No, he did take Snoopy down.
Eight?
Yeah, they're in a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Well, then he shot a dog, and he should be ashamed of himself.
He should be ashamed of himself, but it's dog fighting, and Snoopy got shot down, and then he had to go through the fields.
Why
and
is that was, like, called dog fighting?
It was very funny.
Why is what called dog fighting?
Because
airplane fighting.
Because at the time, the guns were only right up front, so you had to skip behind the guy, so it basically looked like dogs kind of circling each other.
Not chasing each other.
Yeah. And the air combat was really, originally it was just planes flying over each other, flying over the battlements and getting it. And then one guy decided to bring a gun while he went up there and shoot at the other guy. And so eventually we started to put guns on planes, and there we go.
Wait, so what were they doing before they had guns on them?
It was just, you saw the other guy. It was like, oh, he's going to go draw my guy's battle lines. I'm going to go draw his. Hey, buddy.
That's it?
And then one guy was like, no, don't you dare draw my battle lines. I think it was a French guy who brought the gun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Of course. The French ruin everything.
And there we go on that.
With a baguette.
Also to start a chemical warfare.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's like
mustard gas.
Yeah, mustard gas, phosgene.
That's bad.
What does mustard gas do to you?
I was about to ask that. Good question.
Because I know Hitler got hit with one, didn't he?
It attacks the anywhere where there's moisture, so your eyes, the outside of your eyes, your nose, inside your nasal passages and things like that. It dissolves in the... You get a layer of moisture on top of it, and it dissolves in that and then starts... attack him what's underneath.
Oh,
and then what does it do? Does it start breaking
burns
stuff down?
So moisture, it activates it in
it just dissolves in it. Once it's dissolved in it, it's very soluble, but once it's dissolved in the water, it's actually sitting on top of your eyes, like having a drop of acid dropped into your eye.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. And Rebecca did point out, a young corporal.
Who introduced that? Yeah. The Germans?
Yeah.
We like to think so.
We'll say yes.
But it was us.
I'm not convinced that the Germans were the only people using it.
No, definitely not.
So when did Hitler get hit with it? When he was young?
In the First World War.
He
developed a taste for it.
Occasionally they came unstuck because, of course, you had to wait till the wind was behind you. When they had the big cylinders of gas, they'd open them up and the gas would get carried across. But if the wind changed...
Yeah.
You can't fight you're depending on the wind.
Trouble.
That's crazy.
Run! Oh.
I don't think we didn't quite have the sort of the legendary names, but you know, a legendary book series was inspired by it, which would be The Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. We had Tolkien.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He was fine.
He fought, and many say that his book was a sort of
allegory.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To the First World War.
Yeah, darkness has taken over the land. It's Nazism spreading across Europe. Yeah, yeah.
Right. You also had the author of Winnie the Pooh. I can't remember his
Edward
name.
Edward the Bear.
What's his name?
Edward the Bear.
I heard somewhere that Winnie the Pooh's real name. It's Edward the Bear.
No, it's not. It's Mal. Either.
What was that? I'm sorry.
It's Mal.
No, don't you dare. I'm not acknowledging that joke.
It was funny, though.
Okay, so now. They introduced the gas.
The gas is there. The tanks are there.
Where the Austrians at? And all this.
The Austrians?
Oh, they're gone. They're done.
They're done. Their empire is
they fought, I think, 12 battles against the Italians along the river that separates Italy from Austria and eventually won them. Yeah, eventually beat them in the 12th one. I can't think of the name of the river now.
It was basically The Italians and the Russians kind of made the Austrians not really a factor. The Arabs and the Ottomans collapsed in on each other. And it was really just down to the Germans had to fight the whole war by themselves. By this time, the Kaiser isn't even in charge. It's a military dictatorship. Hindenburg and Ludendorff, the two major German generals, it's really become a military state at this point. They've pushed him to the back. They're running the show.
Germany, they already made the mistake of going to Russia?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're talking about this is the end of Germany at this point. This is the end of the German Empire, the Second Reich, as it was called. So eventually by November 11th, 1918, you know, it really starts to go down. And Chris, if you want to play us that last song there. And
this is when the United States starts flexing their muscle.
Right. And the Allies are victorious.
Their chest.
Woohoo!
The second Battle of Marne is about
to be... That's not the one I gave. That's this is the one she gave you.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is... Hey, Britain won! Britain won! We get our Christmas classic song. Thank
all right, fine. You play that. I was playing Long Way to Tipperary, but okay.
Which one? Oh, this one?
The long... Oh, my God. We had to learn this in school.
Of course
I'm not joking.
Did. This song?
Yeah.
Like, I am so glad I went to school in Puerto Rico.
We used to have to do like plays on stuff like this. I remember because I was in a skit where I was a lady going on a night out, and because of rationing, we had to use like gravy browning for stockings instead of actual stockings. Like it was just
you had to paint your legs.
Yeah, you had to paint your legs to like pretend you had stockings on because you couldn't
afford real stuff.
I just hoped it didn't rain.
Yeah, right.
She's melting.
So, as you know, with every European war, at the end of it, we all get to have a big meeting to decide what's going to happen to the world.
Okay.
And here's where...
Everything goes wrong.
We guarantee 100% there's going to be another war after this.
Okay. In this table, we got Britain.
We go to Versailles. This is where we're going. So
this
Britain's
the
there at the table.
Treaty of Versailles.
United States is there.
Woodrow
the
Wilson.
French.
The French are there. The Italians are there.
They didn't win.
They were part of the war. That means they get a seat at the table.
They didn't even make it past
doesn't
their own
matter.
They were on our side.
Vittorio Orlando gets to sit down and hang out with all of the esteemed, let's see, the British, you have Lloyd George at the table?
What?
You have Lloyd George at the table,
yes.
I believe? Right.
That's the stuttering one?
No, that's
George VI. Okay. Yeah.
This is the
So Lord George is coming in.
The what?
Philandering?
The philanderist?
The philanderer.
He was a bit of a ladies' man, although.
He's a philanthropist and a philanderer.
And Georges Clemenceau. The French sits down with his mustache and his baldness.
Georges Clemenceau.
Now, he's a very famous.
George
Yeah, he's very famous in French society. He's, you know, he was the editor that exposed the Dreyfus affair in...
The Richard Dreyfus affair
that proved that it was actually his twin brother in Jaws, not him.
Bobby Dreyfus.
It was a horrible thing there.
And then he murdered him.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
time out. What's the drug? You can't just say things and just.
That's going to have to be another, a different thing altogether.
Just give me a quick
statement. Anti-Semitism in France.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, anti-Semitism in France. So they all sit down, and everyone's invited. Everyone who got to be part of the war gets to sit down at this table. So the Japanese get to bring people?
Yeah.
Because they were over in Asia taking out German territories.
Were the Australians allowed
to come?
Yeah, the Australians were there. The Arabs were there.
We felt bad, so we had to invite Australians. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Australians were there. Prince Faisal was there, and who was the Arab delegation. Some members of the Indian National Council were there because they fought for the British.
The Muslim guy saying, hey, where do we sign this Jerusalem paper?
Where do we sign the Jerusalem deed?
Where's that going on?
Hey, I got this lease. I need somebody to sign it.
It needs to be co-signed.
A new group of Turks are showing up, not the Ottoman regime, a man who will later become Ataturk and form the nation of Turkey. So there's a lot of big people there to sit down.
Who came up with that name? Is that name always there? Turkey?
Yeah, it's the land of the Turks.
It comes with a second name.
Just a weird name. Turkey.
Yeah, well, the bird had been discovered.
You literally have like wild turkeys here, and you're saying like it's a weird name.
Because
he thinks of the bird.
Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking about the bird. I don't think it's like...
I guess.
Do they have turkeys in Turkey?
What came first?
Nope.
Thank you, Dr. Dead.
So everyone sits down, and the problem happens, you know, the problem is twofold here. One, you have a very angry Britain and France who want to punish the Germans for, I mean, the cost was huge.
Yeah, you have a very someone poor
wants to,
British
they want someone
France.
To pay for it. And if they can get someone else to pay for it, why not? If they can get out of it. The other problem was the Americans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what?
Who we sent.
Since when?
We decided, Woodrow Wilson decided he was going to come in with his 14 points and try and dictate the entire meeting and swing it over. And he really wanted to be boss.
Let's be
of
honest.
All
he wanted to swing it around a bit. He wanted to swing it around a bit.
He's like, well, since we helped you win the war, guys, let's be honest. There's 14 things, I think. And he really talked down to the Europeans. Mm. He just kind of, if you follow this plan, I'll teach you guys how to run your country correctly. It's really chauvinistic. We overplayed our hand on that one. Mm. They weren't bad points.
Let's not say we. This guy did.
This guy. This KKK loving Democrat, by the way.
Yeah, I was a Teddy Roosevelt fan personally. I would have voted for Roosevelt for the Progressive Party in 1960.
Oh, of course. I think. Bully. And that's another problem. Woodrow Wilson didn't invite any Republicans, he only came with his Democrat delegation. So already he doesn't even have the support of half his country, never mind all the other countries that he's not in charge of. So this was a big problem. And the points were good, though. The points weren't that bad. It was neutrality of the seas, okay? Well, you know, no more torpedoing boats.
What was the most ridiculous point he had?
I can't remember all 14. But, some of the nice ones were,
let's go to Google.
Hey, let's not punish Germany and make them pay for the entire war. Because technically,
someone's got to pay them reparations.
That's it. That was.
What was the plan?
America had like lent a lot of money out as well, so tons. Like it wasn't just like sort of like England and France and that.
Well,
we borrowed money from America, so they got to get paid back somehow.
Yeah, and, Wilson wanted a payment plan. He wanted everyone on a payment plan, and let's get this done, and let's forgive a few debts here and there because if we're all just borrowing money from each other. It's just not gonna. Yeah. It's not gonna work. He doesn't present it very nicely. He's very arrogant. Mm. And the British and the French want their revenge. And they want to break the Germans. They want to break the Austrians. They want to make sure that another German empire doesn't rise. So one of the things they do is get rid of the monarchy completely. There is going to be no more German royal line. So the German royal line, which was the Hohenzollerns, they had been around since the 1600s. They're done. That's it. You have to have a republic. That was it. You have to have a democracy. You have to have a republic.
Wow. Okay.
We're not going to explain to you how to run a republic or a democracy, but go figure it out on yourself.
What that necessarily means.
Go do an election.
We're not going to actually teach you what a self-sustaining government is like.
Okay.
But you need to have one.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's that. Austria-Hungary, you break up. You're now Austria and Hungary and Czechoslovakia and Poland.
To be fair, I think they were falling apart anyway. I think it was one of the reasons it contributed towards them becoming ineffective towards the end of the war.
Absolutely, yeah. They were just, it was, it had been a shaky monarch to begin with before the war even happened, and it was just, this was the end of it. Hmm. So Bosnians finally get to join up with Yugoslavia like they always wanted to, so they get that.
War ends in 1918.
I have a question for you. This is my ignorance.
Okay.
The 11th of November is when the war ended. Is that a significant date in the U.S.?
It's Veterans Day for us.
Okay, because we have a thing called Remembrance Day.
Mm-hmm.
And in the U.K.,
the puppies?
Around that time, yeah, they sell puppies. Mm. They're supposed to reminisce on, you know, the poppies that grew in the fields
right.
during the war. And it's a way, it's called the Hague Fund, Hague Foundation. I mean, it generates money, and that money goes towards ex-servicemen
veterans being,
right.
you know, injured in action and things like that.
Mm. Yeah, we have the, yeah, we just,
sort of thing.
We do Veterans Day in general.
We give them one day.
Yeah, this is a,
they get one day. I mean, you guys give them the whole month.
Well, this year was special because it was the 100th yeah. anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it actually happened on a Sunday as well.
Yeah, yeah. Our guy couldn't make it because of rain.
It was raining.
I don't know if you the news picked up on that.
Oh, my Lord.
It was so embarrassing.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone noticed.
I don't know. Hopefully nobody picked up on that. You know.
Oh, my God. That was just... Did you hear about this?
No.
Oh, so Donald Trump didn't go to
the memorial.
The memorial that all other world leaders
because
went to.
Because it was raining.
Because it was raining. Yeah. And they couldn't get a helicopter there.
He's, well, to be fair, he wasn't alone in skipping it. Putin skipped it also. So.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah. So he's in good company.
He's not even part of the G units. Like, not part of the G units, no one gets.
Well, so the original, you know, it's... so there we... So
Germany gets...
Shafted.
Gets shafted.
They have to pay for the entire war.
And then somehow, in 20-something years, they become a force.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so the Treaty of Versailles is so harsh that it's just not doable at all. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not allowed an army. They like the money that they're made to pay back is just so huge. They end up printing money, which causes inflation in their country, yeah. and
aren't they still not allowed to have an army now?
There's still some restrictions in Germany, I believe, not as strong as the Japanese ones.
Okay,
but yeah. it's like. A lot of things that it was enforced rigidly to start with, but 10 years down the line, it got a bit slacker and then a bit slacker. People started to lose interest. You know, the war was 10 years behind. We want to move on.
Hey, they behaved for 10 years. Let's be a little lax about it.
You know, and they started to build up again and nobody seemed to notice.
Yeah. Hitler's on that mustard gas high that he got.
All of them fall into the fascist hole because they were all dissatisfied with the Treaty of Versailles. The Italians thought they were going to get lots of land. They didn't, and their already crumbling government was crumbling even more, which allows for the rise of Mussolini.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the monarchy of Germany becomes the Weimar Republic. And it just...
Oh, I love that. Weimar.
The Weimar.
Weimar.
And the so Russian cool. Revolution.
The Russians are off doing their own thing.
Oh, God, they're having another revolution, but... Oh.
Japanese are learning how to fly planes.
The Japanese are told...
They're not good at landing them.
The Japanese are told they cannot have racial equality, and so they go back home disappointed. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they thought the Japanese would just be okay with that and just sit at home and not plan on conquering the Pacific Ocean after right. that.
No.
So the Japanese are going to go back and do what the Japanese do, which is plan. And then the Russians, yeah, are in the middle of a Russian civil war right now.
Yeah. Wait, which one? First one or second one?
Well, it's 1918, so yeah, we're still...
I guess like the second one doesn't really count as a revolution. It's just like a
purge.
Korean War.
A government overthrow.
Before one?
Korean War is after World War II.
Yeah. After World War II.
Yeah, it's 1948, 1950s. Okay. Yeah. So it's a while ago.
Yeah.
A while later. But that's the, you know, so... This war is, like I said, one of the most significant in the 20th century just because of the empires it breaks. You know, you don't get as many fantastic movies out of it, like World War II.
Isn't Peter Jackson, yes. he's doing that movie where he took, like, the old footage.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. put some color and some sounds into them.
That looks, I
I'm
think,
looking forward
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, interesting.
I can't wait. My father's going to drag me into that.
Oh, yeah. it's going to be heartbreaking. And then...
Yeah, for sure.
Just afterwards... well, the good news is, at least for the Germans in film. Get some interesting film going on after the First World War. Mm-hmm. That German expressionism and the horror of wars that comes out of it.
Yep.
In England, you know, you've lost so many working men.
Whole generations.
And then you come up with the problem that most of the factories were filled with women.
Yeah.
And the women were kind of enjoying getting paid and having jobs.
Yeah.
And
now as equals.
This is a massive problem.
And now the men have come back and they want their jobs back. So it actually leads to this little gender tiff that goes on in Great Britain at this time.
You get the suffragette movement.
Well, I mean, there's 19 million killed in the First World War. So there must have been a few gaps.
Right?
That's a neat feeling.
So you get that, and yeah, you get the suffragette movement going on, which gets even more. And in America, they finally are going to get their right to vote. Where the last
1920,
the 19th Amendment. Yeah,
yeah.
First, because first we have to ban alcohol. Okay, that's
we can have boozy women making these
decisions. Alcohol first, yeah. Then we can let the women vote. We have to do the important issues.
You know what? Those two issues are really close together.
Uh-huh.
So they used women to get prohibition covered, which is the only reason women got the vote. So they would vote to ban alcohol.
That's amazing, right?
Isn't it awful?
It's like the only reason Puerto Rico's got that U.S. citizenship. Okay. It's like, go fight in that World War One. It's all about what can
we don't
do
have
for
enough
me?
Soldiers.
You know, what can you do for me?
Yeah. But yeah, in America, it's not as significant to us. You know, it was a nice pat on the back. You know, and
what do you mean, World War One?
Yeah, we became the bankers of the world after that. Though we had to bankroll everyone. We had to loan everyone.
I think
you're
going
to start to see
the biggest one is two. Two is the one that
you're going to start to see this big change in society. And one of the things that was done so well. There's a show. You guys have seen Downton Abbey. Does a great job with it because they do the season before during the war and the season after the war. You know, the lords and stuff start driving up in their cars and everything like that, and they focus on the grill. And it says Ford on them because the Americans are starting to pour in. The businesses are starting to come in, and we're starting to kind of, our economic tentacles are starting to get involved in every single European country because everyone else was so broke at the time. So it's a stepping stone for the Americans as far as their economic domination, and it's the end of so many empires that had been around since the Renaissance. And it was for most people, it was like, where do we go now? I have been X profession for generations, and the king has always told me I am X profession. What happens now? There's no more. There's no more Kaiser. There's no more Emperor of Austria. Where do we go?
We still have a king.
I like how whole pretty much all Europe is involved in stuff, but I hear nothing about Spain.
Oh, Spain stays neutral.
They just.
It's easy when you're in a peninsula, hang out over the ocean like that. You can kind of be like, yeah, we're over here, leave us alone.
Spain is notorious for kind of not doing anything.
It does have its own problems, big internal problems in Spain.
They had their days of glory in the 15 and 1600s.
Their days have passed.
And really, after
Spanish Armada.
After Napoleon invades them, they're just never the same after that. It's kind of the end for them.
Now you say Spain, what about Portugal? They're even further out on that peninsula, even more isolated from the rest of the continent.
That's like a slave docking station or something like that.
Switzerland are the same. They never get involved in anything.
Yeah, but they got all the money there. No one's going to mess with them, are they? Because
too
it's
busy
like
making the clock.
We got all your money. All of it.
Yeah.
Come at us. Come at us, see what happens to your account.
We'll shut down all your accounts. Legal and illegal.
Who are the ones that protect the Pope?
The Swiss Guard.
The Swiss Guard. Are they good?
Fancy
are they any
dresses?
Good?
I don't know.
They look funny with those little outfits.
We went to the Vatican, didn't we?
Sure.
Yeah, I saw them there. I'm like, this outfit just doesn't scream anything.
Yo, I mean, back then, you know. But these days, maybe not so much.
Well, an interesting side note. So the Vatican City is the only country that you cannot technically be born in. Because it doesn't have a hospital.
Ah.
But if somebody just gives birth
in... Well, you have to go to a hospital to sign a birth certificate.
Oh.
They don't have a hospital there.
No Immaculate Conceptions going on in the Vatican.
So you give birth on the floor in the Vatican somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you gotta go to a hospital.
You gotta go to Italy. You'd be born in Italy.
Go to Italy, and then they say technically, because everything's filled out here, you're born.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's
one of those pub quiz questions. ever comes up.
There we go.
Put it down on HQ.
I'll have to tell Simon.
We got an HQ four-time champion right here.
Yeah, four-time winner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, see, I always, like, I don't do well in trivia over here because inevitably you get to a sports round and baseball, hockey, American football.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't know it. I couldn't even name you one person who plays any of them. Like, not a clue.
Come on, you know Babe Ruth.
Oh, Thomas Brady. Tom Brady.
Thomas Brady.
Thomas Brady is the correct answer.
I love that. No, 100%
she made him sound correct.
She made like him a. She made him a lord.
Lord of Thomas Brady.
Lord Thomas Brady.
It probably is Thomas. Everyone just calls him Tom Brady.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's he's known as Tom Brady.
That's but I only know him because he's married to Giselle. And she's like...
The bunches.
She's Giselle.
The better half.
Right.
That's why you need a team.
And then you don't follow...
That's why you need a team because then when the sports question comes up, you go to the teammate and say, answer the question, teammate.
But right, she also admitted that she doesn't even follow the sports from her home country.
Not
football
really.
There. We call it soccer.
They watch MMA.
I'm respectful.
We watch a lot of UFC.
She and Jack watch UFC. MMA, so they got that covered.
Every MMA question.
Gypsy fighting.
I was writing a book for Jamaica a couple of years back, and I put soccer in, and they were offended. We don't call it soccer.
Not
football
The only place that calls it soccer is the United States.
They miss being part of the British Empire, actually.
Oh, Jamaica.
There's actually a small group that's trying to go back that's forming because they're like, all right, we got our independence and everything went to shit. So,
take us back.
I don't know if you know about this Brexit. Oh,
we will totally take you back, Jamaica.
take us back, Britain.
I can have like freedom of like working, like living there.
That's it.
Yeah, who needs
it?
Who needs the EU? You can just go to Jamaica.
Yeah, no problem, man.
No problem. Come in, man. We have the party.
Sounds good, actually. I'll go to Jamaica.
Yeah,
let's go.
They want to go back.
Let's take a show trip to Jamaica.
There's even, you know, it's interesting because I've, you know, there's little fringe groups everywhere. There's actually a every year in the French or every, you know, election in France, there is still a royalty party. I think he's like Louis the 27th or something like that. He still runs just in case they want those Bourbons back.
Wow. In the UK, I don't think the guy does it now, but the guy used to stand every time as the Monster Raven Loony Party.
Yes.
And he never, ever got voted in.
The Monster Raven Loony Party?
Yeah. There is a John Oliver special on this, if you would like to watch it, where you actually get to meet him.
I don't know how many times this guy stood. They changed the rules at one time. I don't know how many votes you had to have now, maybe 100 or something, but they bumped up the number of votes to stop people.
Well, Brazil,
you know, standing
for nominating
under silly names.
Yeah, right.
It didn't stop him.
Yeah, Brazil has the same thing. They have a guy, if you want to vote for a guy, his name was like Diego Wolverine.
Well, we have Vermin.
Oh my God, I saw videos of him. Yes.
We have Vermin Supreme who runs every election.
Who?
Too. Vermin Supreme in America. He has a boot on his head and he promises free ponies.
There you go.
Yeah, that's his
platform.
I want
a free pony.
I'll then vote for Vermin Supreme.
Second vote there, Vermin Supreme.
There's a guy who's giving free ponies, and you guys voted in Trump.
not you guys.
Wait.
You guys. Hold on.
I'm generalizing.
I knew this guy was.
Hashtag I'm with her. We have Roseanne Barr ran the last two presidential elections.
Yes, she did.
Made on the final ballot and everything. Yeah.
Puerto Rico, every 4 years, they go into this plebiscite to see if they. We're going to vote to see if we're going to be a state. And I'm like,
how does that happen every time?
They're not going to take you in. You can pass it.
But
they're not going to take you in.
To take this,
because then they got
to
bail you out.
No.
Yeah, then they got to take responsibility.
There's no benefit of the United States having Puerto Rico as a state.
Not anymore.
There's nothing.
Why put a ring on it if it comes every time?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it pretty much, it's a colony already.
Yeah.
But we don't call it a colony because it sounds,
sounds
dirty.
Commonwealth.
Yes,
Commonwealth
is like this is not my mistress. This is my friend.
This is my concubine.
That sounds dirtier.
The concubine of America.
Concubines just sounds so weird.
Concubine's a great word.
Yeah.
That's a great word.
I don't know. You guys should just band with the Virgin Islands. Make your own little federation.
Virgin Islands.
The Virgin Islands and Guam. You can send a telegraph to Guam.
I'll go with Virgin Islands once they drop the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Maybe St. Thomas and St. John.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about St. Croix over
St.
there.
St. Bart's is not going to jump in. That's where all the rich white people are.
Ah.
Hi, everybody. What's this?
This is Slade. Do you not have this hair?
No, we don't.
Are you hanging up your stockings on
If you lived in
wall.
England, you'd be fed up of hearing this every year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, it's been around for about 40 years. This
never goes to our radio station.
So it is Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun.
No, yeah.
Merry Xmas, everybody.
Do you know Jose Feliciano's?
No.
You don't? What?
Do you know Feliz Navidad?
Oh, Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that one.
But you know what? Do you guys know Fairy Tale of New York?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Me and my wife sing that song every Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Jack was backstage and nobody knew this song. Apart from like the English people. They were like, what?
It's a niche thing that unless you listen to like the Irish bands, you're not gonna get it. Unless you listen to the Irish punk bands around here, then no. That's it. You don't get any of that.
Yeah, me and my wife sing that.
Yeah, it's not like a Mariah Carey song around here.
Hey everybody, we're back. It's the Devil's in the Details. Thank you so much for listening to the
conclusion. Thanks for coming back
of the World War One. Like always, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Devil's Deets. Follow us on Facebook at PFT Media Group. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Also available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn. Any topics you guys want us to cover, please send us an email at devilsinthedetailsshow@gmail.com. Follow all our brothers and sisters at the PFT lineup, which we have Cinema Crespediso, What the Fuzz, The Major Scale, Scotch and Good Conversation, that's my show, Simon Time, Trivia Time, State of the Beer Union, Lady Reptax, I can't say it,
Reptastic. Help me,
thank you, sir, I just had a stroke.
It's all right.
Tidbits, and is there a show there that you just scratched up?
That's a Daily City, which is on pause right now.
Okay.
They're taking the devils in the details.
Yeah. Anything else that am I missing?
I think
missing
we got
anything?
Them all.
No, I think that's all.
We're good?
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything at Rican Gorilla, at Dan P. Comedy.
Dan P. Comedy, or of course, follow my side project, FSCW, FSC Wrestling on Twitter, or FSCW Entertainment on Instagram.
That sounds rubbish. You can follow me on social media at Clara Sinclair. You can also see me on the FSCW wrestling product all over it, and it's awesome.
And if Dr. Dad doesn't have any social media,
I don't.
Buy one of his books.
He pops
buy
up one of
his buy, yeah. buy a textbook.
Yeah.
Are your books on Amazon by any chance?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
For real? Uh-huh. Let's find one. Let's push it. Let's push it. Anybody. If
Merry Christmas to all of the listeners.
Yes, and if you buy one of Dr. Dad's books, we'll have it signed for you, personalized and everything.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. All right. Ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
A PFT Media production.